We are good. We're good. It's on. All right. I can't believe I did that right first time. Okay. All right. No, I'd like to thank everybody for being here. Man, we got a good crowd in here today. Great crowd. Missy and Morgan are here. Dwight and Teresa. Teresa, when Coach Franks came in, the first things Ansley asked me is, was Miss Teresa was here. First question she asked, so she's happy. Coach Franks, a lot of friends here. Good to see you. David Miller was going to be here, and he asked me about a month ago when I was going to be up here on Sunday again, and I told him that Leo had told me December the 12th. Well, Friday night, he came to me before the game, and if you were at our game, this was probably the highlight of the night for us. And he said, I'm not going to be able to make it Sunday. And Ryan was sitting right beside her. He said, are you preaching? And I said, no, Ryan, I'm not preaching. I'm going to fill in for Leo. He's not going to be here. And then he says, well, what time are you preaching? So he's like Missy says about me, I don't listen. So, all right, turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Jonathan, you singing today?
No,
I was just going to check. We didn't want to leave that off if you were going to. Last Sunday, Brother Leo used Luke chapter 2. Use the same scripture, verse 8 through 14, and you will hear it all the time during the Christmas season. These verses, these same verses, whether you go to Christmas plays, Christmas cantatas, you go to a Christmas service, you go somewhere on New Year's Christmas Eve for a service, you watch television, a Christmas show comes on, you will hear these verses over and over about when the angel appears to the shepherds to announce the coming of Jesus. So let's start with verse 18 and go through verse 14. Verse 8 and go through verse 14. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Go back to verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. A lot, now this is the King James Version. A lot of versions say good news. And the New American Standard, which I like, says good news. So what I want to talk to you today about is what the Bible says about good news. What is the good news? And I was talking with Lehman a couple Wednesday nights ago about the good news. And he said, Benford, I'm sorry. And Benford said, there's good news, a lot of different good news in the Bible from the start to the finish. But I want to concentrate on three things. What the good news was in the Old Testament, what the good news is here, and what is the good news for the people at the Waynesboro Bible Center in 2021. What is our good news? Now, this is the second time I've done it on Sunday, the fourth and fifth time I've done it on Wednesday nights. And I never try to use what I want to do or what's about me, but what is laid on my heart and what the Lord wants done. And a lot of times, if it's a Wednesday night, I may not get it on Monday, you know, what I feel like's good or what comes to me. But, and so one time it was changed 3 or 4 times. I've had this on my heart since October. And God's timing's perfect. There's no mistake in God's timing.
Amen.
So when Leo said he was going to be out about 3 weeks ago, he came by and he put a note on the table over here, and it said December 8th, December 12th. And I said, that works out perfect. I didn't know what it is. And it was this here because it comes right before the Christmas season. And back about September and October, there's an individual that I know who's Jehovah's Witness. And I'm going to tell you how this came about. And he came up to me one day and he says, you know something? He said, nobody wants to hear the good news. He said, we go knock door to door and tell everybody the good news and nobody wants it. And I was thinking, well, what they're selling, that ain't the good news. That's not the good news. They call it the good news. So you hear everything that's the good news. You're going to hear things like they do that's non-biblical. You're going to hear others that's in the Bible, but they pick and choose. And you hear this, you've got to be perfect. You've got to be perfect. You better never sin. You better never slip up. That's their good news. But then what is the good news for us? Turn to Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to look at the Old Testament. The first good news. And this is talking about everybody in the Old Testament. It's talking about us. It's talking about the people in Jesus' time. We're going to go to verse 15. So we all know the story of Adam and Eve. They're in the Garden of Eden. God says, you'll do one thing. You won't eat from the tree. You won't eat the fruit from a tree. That's it. Okay? Well, what do? They're tempted by the serpent to eat it. That's why we have human suffering. That's why people are sick. That's why we have tornadoes. That's why we have all this. We're in a fallen world. The curse. We all know that. And at that point, not only did we have the physical curse, we had the spiritual curse. We were removed from a relationship with God because of that. And we have that Adam nature within us. That's why we do things and we don't know why we do it. And think things and we don't know why we think it. We have that nature. But look at verse 15. This is the first good news in the Bible. And God tells the serpent, I will put in, which is the devil, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. Well, what's her seed? Jesus Christ came directly from the seed of Eve. That's her seed, Jesus. Okay? So, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. What is that prophecy? Jesus is going to die on the cross for your sins. You're going to have a way to a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, but it's going to be done because he's going to have to go down the cross. He's going to suffer. You'll bruise his heel, but it shall bruise your head, Satan. It's going to be your fatal blow because mankind's not going to be lost. They're going to have the chance to come to God and know God as their Savior and have eternal life in heaven. So that's the first good news. Now let's go on. What's more good news in the Old Testament? Go to Genesis 12. And we're going to build up to where we are today. I'm building my case. Genesis 12. We're going to start with verse 1. So between Adam and Eve, in Genesis 12, there's no law, there's no grace, there's nothing. Man's left to his own conscience. Whatever he sees is right. Well, what happens right off the bat? Cain kills Abel. And the Bible says all men knew were violence and they thought evil continually. That's all they did. And the Bible says that it bothered God that he'd even made man. So what happened? The flood destroys everybody but Noah and his family. Well, within 200 years after the flood, they build the Tower of Babel. In verse 11, they build a tower. They're going to heaven. Okay? They build a Tower of Babel. And God said, man has no limit in what he can do. And I want you to think about this. I think about the cross all the time. And not only Jesus, but thousands and thousands and thousands of people were crucified. Who in the world would have dreamed up something like, you know something? If we nail people to a cross, they're going to smother to death. And all their joints are going to dislocate and their bones, and it's going to be a horrible death. And there's a certain way we can put a nail through a hand that's going to prolong their death by days. Instead of driving it in certain, we can do it where it's not going to break. But who would think of something like that? But that's what man does. They think about weapons, and they think about ways to torture people, and they think about just ways to punish people, and that's what all mankind knows, and that's all they've ever known. Just evil all the time. Who could think of that? So God says it has no limit. So I'm going to call out a man, and I'm going to call out a chosen people unto myself, that I'm going to have a relationship with these people here on earth. So look at Genesis 12. The first good news, or the second good news rather. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land I will show you. Remember, Abraham wasn't a Jew at that time. He was not in the nation of Israel. He was an idol worshiper. His family was idol worshipers. And God says, get away from them. I can't use you if you're in the middle of that. And I will make of you a great nation, Israel. And I will bless you. And I will make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you. And I will curse them that curse you. And in thee, all thy families, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Well, what's that mean, all the families of the earth will be blessed? Jesus is direct descendant of Abraham. Out of Abraham, all families, everybody's going to be blessed. Everybody's going to have the opportunity to come to Jesus Christ and be saved. It wasn't always like that. And we're going to talk about that. So, how do people mess this up? The church for years has said, we've replaced Israel. All those blessings, bless them that blessed them and curse them that cursed them, that's us. That's not Israel. He's turned his back on Israel, it's us. Kenneth Copeland, the televangelist, is worth $750 million. $750 million. And a reporter asked him one day, it was in the paper, do you feel any guilt that you're worth $750 million as a preacher when you've got all these people struggling and all these people hungry and all the suffering and poor people throughout the country and even in your own neighborhood, in your own city, Houston? He said, no, I don't. He said, the Bible said Abraham was a wealthy man and I've got the same covenant as Abraham. Well, no, you don't have the same covenant as Abraham. This was for Israel. We have the spiritual covenant. He had, in Israel, had the earthly, the fleshly covenant that they were going to prosper. That same, it's not going to rain Cadillacs. We're going to go through tough times. We're not going to show up to mark the bank. Somebody's put in $10 million. But Jesse the Planet says all the time that he lives in a gated house, a gated yard. He's got so much money, and people just drive by and stop, take bags of money, throw it over the fence. He says it on TV. They throw money over the fence in his yard. Said he can't get out there quick enough to count all the money they throw over in his yard. That's not for us. People misconstrue this stuff and they don't rightly divide it and they lie. People lie to get rich about what the covenants are and what the gospel is. And you need to know what's truth and what's not truth. Turn to Genesis 17. Here's another one to Abraham. I told Tim, I'm going to try not to give him 1,000 scriptures. I'm afraid he'll shoot me after church is over. So I'm trying to not load up here. Now, he's promised that. Now, you've got to remember now, in chapter 17, Abraham is 100 years old. Sarah's 90. They have no kids between them. They have none. 100 years old. So, in verse 4, God makes a covenant with Abraham. Here's more good news in the Old Testament. As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father to many nations. Neither shall your name anymore be called Abram, but your name will be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come out of you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed, his descendants, after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto you and to thy seed. And I will give you and your seed the land where you are. You are a stranger in all the land of Canaan. For an everlasting possession, I will be their God. So what's he saying? Well, number one, I'm going to make you fruitful. You're going to have kids. You're going to have grandkids. You're going to have great-grandkids. It said in the Bible that you're going to have more descendants than stars are in the sky. He's like, I'm 100 years old. My wife's 90. How are you going to do that? He said, not only that, I'm going to give you all this land. And in the Bible, it deeds it that your land of Israel, that little slot that's Israel now, there's a lot more to it than that little slot. It goes all the way from Lebanon and the Mediterranean Sea, all the way to the Euphrates, down to Egypt. You take Lebanon, you take Jordan, you take Syria, they're interlopers on their land. They're trespassers on what was deeded to Israel. Now, they'll tell you now, we got to take more land from Israel. We got to take the West Bank. We got to take the Gaza Strip. We got to take all that. That's theirs. And not only that, everything else in the Middle East. Okay? So he made that promise. Now, go down to, hold on just a minute here. I was looking for Sarah. Go down to verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah your wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah. That's what her name will be. And I will bless her, and I will give you a son also of her, and I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Now look at verse 17. And this is it in a nutshell. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that's 100 years old and Sarah is 90 years old and she's going to bear a son? Nothing's impossible for God. That was meant to be. He had established that covenant. And he did it in a miraculous form. So good news. You're going to have countries named after Israel. You're going to be a father of many nations. You're going to be blessed going in, blessed going out. Those that curse you, I will curse. Those that love you, I will love. That's good news. Go to one more, Exodus 19. And we're going to get to where we are. I just want you to see that good news is all through the Bible, but good news is not, all this good news is not directed toward us. Now, when I grew up in church, it was, like I said, you threw it all in the bucket, you mixed it up, you threw it against a wall, you see what stuck. That's why people are confused. They hear everything. They hear, you know, I don't see how King Saul, you know, I don't see how King Saul backslid. King Saul was a Christian. You know, how in the world did he backslide? Now, people say that when they don't believe, when they believe you lose your salvation. How King Saul? Well, he was still 1,500 years from Jesus. How in the world could he have been a Christian? Jesus hadn't even died on the cross yet. So, you've got to be very careful what you listen to and what is for us. So, Exodus 17. Oh, did I said 19. I'm sorry. I was going to say, that don't look familiar. I don't think we even want to talk about that. No, wait a minute. I'm sorry. It is 19. I'm sorry. 5 and 6. I'm sorry. Okay. I'll get you there. All right. Exodus 19, 5 and 6. Now, this is God speaking to Moses. Moses is went up on the mountain. And God says, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you will be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you will be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which you will speak unto the children of Israel." Well, the peculiar people is there. They were, hey, been God's chosen people all along. That was the good news. Now, the kingdom of priests, that's going to come in the 1,000-year reign. Okay? When they're going to be missionaries for Christ all over the world. It's not happened yet, but they will. But the good news is there, and it's all through the Old Testament, but it wasn't necessarily pertaining to us. So now let's start getting toward us. There were, in the Old Testament, over 300 prophecies that told of Jesus' birth. Over 300. I want to look at just a couple, and I want to show you how they line up with what the angel says. So turn to Zechariah chapter 9. So Leo got on me for using Zechariah last time. So go to Matthew and turn left 2 blocks. two chapters before you get to the Old Testament. And in my Bible, that's page 782. That probably don't help much. All right. I want to look at 3 prophecies. All right. Now, this is Zechariah predicting the first comer, not predicting, but making a prophecy of the first coming of the Messiah. So, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 and 10. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 and 10. When I said turn to Zechariah, it might have helped if I gave you that chapter and verse. Okay, chapter 9, verse 9 and 10. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king comes unto you. He is just and having salvation, lowly, riding upon a donkey and upon the colt of a foal of a donkey." Now, if that's not Jesus, who is it? I told you all about that guy who was a doctorate, had a doctorate in theology, and he was saying there was no prophecies of Jesus coming. My goodness. Who is this? In verse 10, "And I will cut off the chariot of Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem." What's he talking about? The war. Okay? Those were the weapons. The chariot, the horse. "And the battle bow shall be cut off. And he shall speak peace unto the heathen. And his dominion shall be from sea even to sea. And from river even to the ends of the earth." So this is what Israel was beginning to look for. a Messiah is going to come on the scene, and Israel, just like now, was threatened by all sides. All they knew was war. And you're going to have no more war when the Messiah comes. We're going to cut all that off. The Messiah is going to reign, and there's going to be peace on earth throughout all the earth. That's what they were looking for. Now, who wouldn't want that deal? That's what they were tired of war. We all would be. Okay? Keep that in mind. That's what Israel is looking for. Now, go back to 2 Samuel. Chapter 7, verse 8 through 16. And I won't hurry. It may take me as long to find it as it does you. So 2 Samuel. Chapter 7, verse 8 through 16. And remember what we're talking about. What's the good news? And I want to keep this as simple. I want, when you leave here, if you don't know, that you understand what the good news is. What is the good news to us? Okay? So, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 8 through 16. So Nathan, the prophet, speaking to David. God says, I want you to go talk to King David. All right? So start with verse 8. He says, so therefore you will say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepcote, or from the sheepfold. He was a shepherd. From following the sheep to be ruler over my people Israel. And I was with you wheresoever you went. I have cut off your enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, and like unto the name of great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint you a place for my people Israel, and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own. We've talked about the land that he deeded to Abraham, and they will move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them anymore. What? No more war. As before time, and as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused you to rest from all your enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make you a house. And when your days are fulfilled, so when you die, David, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up your seed, okay, your seed, your sons, your grandsons, your great-grandsons. I will set up a seed after you which will proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish this kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. This is what they're looking to. This kingdom is going to last forever. But my mercy shall not depart, verse 14. And I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. That's talking about Israel. But my mercy shall not depart away from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thy house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee, and thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to his vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. No more war, and this kingdom will last forever. You're never going to be overthrown. You're going to have a homeland. You're not going to be nomads. You're not going to have to move all over the Middle East, all over the world. You're going to have a home. You can get up and lay your head down the same place every day. No more war. You're going to live in peace. This is what they were looking for. This was what the Messiah was going to bring them. Okay? One more. Isaiah chapter 9. Now we're going to get into prophecies of his coming, but this is going to be what you hear at Christmas all the time. And you got to be careful when you hear this. A lot of times we like to wrap the bow around it, that hear that, and Jesus is the Savior. But when they do this, that they're talking to us today in the age of grace when they say this, and they weren't necessarily doing that. So Isaiah is making the prophecy, and my Bible says from verse 1 through verse 7 is the prophecy of the Messiah's birth. But now I want to go to 6 and 7, the familiar verses that you hear at Christmas. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Well, Prince of Peace, we have spiritual peace with God, Lehman.
Amen.
But what are they looking at? They're looking at peace, political peace, wars. That's what they're looking at. And also, the government shall be upon his shoulder. And I've always wondered about that. What does that have to do with us in the age of grace? It doesn't. Government on his shoulder, he was going to be a political king, the king of Israel. That government is going to be on his shoulder. Verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Okay, no end. And upon the throne of David, you remember the prophecy made to David? And upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice. From henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So what's he saying? This Messiah is going to rule. The kingdom will last forever. And it will be upon the throne of David. Okay? And every Jew knew what they were talking about when they said that. So let's go into the New Testament. And I'm getting there. How does this apply to us? We've talked Old Testament. So what did it mean when we started out and the angels came to the shepherds? What did it mean, okay, when they did that? Turn to Luke chapter 1. What did it mean? Luke chapter 1. So, the angel appeared to the shepherds in verse 30 of Luke chapter 1. He appears to Mary. All right? The angel appears to Mary. So verse 30 through 33. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus. Well, it's already probably a little bit weird to Mary anyway, because she's not known a man. We know it was a virgin birth. She's probably thinking, well, how can this happen? Well, if that's not enough, she's getting ready to get hit with another one here. Verse 32, and his name shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Not only is it going to be a virgin birth, Mary, you're going to give birth to the Messiah. This one we prophesied about. And trust me, she knew. They all knew. Every Jew knew. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, there's nothing right here about a Savior to us, okay? This is a Messiah to Israel that they've been looking for. Now, this is going to come to us because we're going to see here, he's going to be rejected. Israel's not going to have him because he didn't look like the king. You know, Crystal Lewis had a song that I loved, The Lion and the Lamb. Which is, and I would suggest you can whatever, if you want to listen to it on YouTube, iTunes, whatever. But The Lion and the Lamb talks about the suffering Savior, but the reigning King. We have the suffering Savior. Israel wanted nothing to do with a suffering Savior. They wanted a reigning King. Jesus didn't have that look of what they wanted with a king, and they rejected him. Okay? Go down to verse 67. And we're going to see how this comes to us. Zechariah, John is the high priest, John the Baptist's father. Okay? And when John the Baptist was brought, they were going to name him Zechariah, and Zechariah says, no, you're not, you're going to name him John. And Zechariah makes this prophecy, and it's about what John the Baptist is going to do, but he talks about how John the Baptist is going to be the forerunner, and he's going to pave the way for Jesus. Now, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied. So this wasn't just something that he was saying just because he felt like saying it. He's filled. This is God speaking through him. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Well, who's he talking about? His people will be the Jews. They're Israel. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us into the house of his servant David. Now let's talk about that for a minute, the horn of salvation. Salvation at that time was not for the Gentiles. So you ask, what is a Gentile? It's a non-Jew. At that time, the Jew was the only person who could come in a relationship with God. It was off limits. Okay? For Jew only. Now, that wasn't always going to be the case. It would be worked out, like we said, where the Jew will go when Jesus reigns, when the Messiah reigns, they're going to go testify to all the world and lead all men into salvation. But it's not come yet. Okay? He's coming to salvation for his people. What salvation for his people? To believe in him as the Messiah and the Son of God and to accept him. When that happens, then they can go out and testify to all the world. That's the plan. So verse 70. As he spake by the mouth of the holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. So we're talking about the same thing. All their enemies, all the war, all the countries, all the people trying to destroy Israel. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. The oath which he swore to our father Abraham. We went through Abraham covenants. That he would grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear. He's going to deliver us. We're going to serve him. In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of thy life. And then he talks about John the Baptist. I take that back. He does need it. I'm sorry. That's another verse. Verse 76. And thou, child, shall be called a prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. John the Baptist. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people. What did John the Baptist say? Repent, be baptized, believe in him as the Messiah. This is your coming king. The kingdom's at hand. Okay? By the remission of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from us have visited. So he gets on to the rest about John the Baptist. So, he's prophesying the Messiah's here. And this is what he's going to do. He's going to fulfill all those prophecies. Okay? But what happened? They rejected Christ. Where do we come in? They rejected Christ. Christ as the Messiah. Turn to Romans chapter 15, verse 8. Romans 15, verse 8. Now, this is from Paul. Paul is our apostle to the Gentiles. If you're not sure what that is, we'll hit that here in a minute. Paul says in verse 8, chapter 15, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision." What's the circumcision? The Jew. "He was the minister of the Jew for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." Why did Jesus come? To fulfill the covenants made to Abraham, to the prophets, to David, to the other ones that we talked about. To fulfill those prophecies. That he would come and he would be Israel's king, Messiah, and Savior. Okay? It's plain. Jesus was the minister of the circumcision, the Jew. No Gentile at that time. But it didn't work out. Turn to Matthew chapter 23, and I want to hit two verses, and then we're going to wrap it up, and I'm going to tell you what the good news is for us. So there's no confusion. Matthew chapter 23, verses 37 through 39. Jesus speaking about Jerusalem. He says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem." And remember, Jerusalem, that's the capital of Israel. That is the spiritual home of Israel. "You that killest the prophets and stone them which are sent unto you, how often would I have gathered you together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me again till I shall say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." Amen. He's leaving them. Now, it's not always going to be the case. But he said, "I came. I wanted to be a father to you. I wanted to be the Messiah. I wanted to be your Savior. I wanted to protect you. I wanted to fulfill all these promises, and you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't have it." So he's getting ready to turn to us. Take one more. John chapter 19. And these are sad words. The Jews and Israel, basically, they asked for it. And they said, "We don't want him." Jesus is on trial before Pilate on whether or not he should be crucified. So in verse 12, Pilate, it says plainly, Pilate knew he was innocent. Pilate wanted nothing to do with him. But he bowed to political pressure. The Jews said in verse 12, "If you turn him loose, you're no friend of Caesar." In other words, you're a traitor. And that meant death for him. So verse 13, "When Pilate heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover. And about the sixth hour, he said unto the Jews, behold your king." Now get this, verse 15. "But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he them therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away." He's not our king. We don't want him. We don't want him. He's not for us. But God had a plan. This is where we come in. This is the good news to us today. Amen. Turn to Acts chapter 9. This is the good news to us today. You say, what does all this mean? So we've clarified There have been good news. There's been promises all the way through that a Messiah would come. But see, our promise is going to be not that we're going to have a political king. Not that we're going to have total peace on earth. Not that we're going to be rich. Not that we're people, everybody's going to love us. It's not that. The prophecy is for us that God, through Jesus Christ, is going to love us. And that we have a way unto God through Jesus Christ and nobody else. Amen. Than Jesus Christ, for us to have a relationship with Him and go to heaven. Amen. Okay? Acts chapter 9, verse 15. Saul is persecuting the church, who later will be Paul. He's persecuting the church. He's on his way to Damascus. He's got warrants to arrest and have Christians tortured and killed and arrested. So he's struck down, blinded by a light. Okay? Jesus speak, why do you persecute me, Saul? So the Lord speaks to Ananias and says, I want you to go and speak to Saul. And he was like, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. He'll have me killed on the spot. He's killed Christians all over. No. And he says in verse 15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way. He is a chosen vessel unto me, and he shall bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Before then, we were off limits. But he says, but God's plan was this. Look, Israel, my plan was for Israel to accept him, and then they're going to witness to all the world about Jesus. But they're not going to have him. I can't wait. That is what you've heard the age of grace, the church age, the body of Christ. That's what we're in. That's what we're in now. This is open for now. Jesus, you mean when Jesus died on the cross, Jesus didn't die for us? He sure did. Amen. But at that time, the word was still among the Jews. It hadn't got out to Gentiles yet. It was still off limits. Now it's for us. So what is the good news then? What is the good news then? If it's for us, what's our good news? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'll be done here in a minute. But we need to know this. This will be the most important thing you'll ever hear, and it'll be the most important thing I can never tell you. Not because I said it, because it's the gospel. If I get up here and talk anything else, if I talk politics, if I tell stories, if I do whatever, I'm wasting your time, my time, and God's time. The most important, and it ain't about me, the most important thing that I can do is tell you that Jesus loves you. He sent Jesus to die for you on a cross. You could be saved, and He wants you to have eternal life with Him. Anything else is a waste. Okay? This is Paul. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Well, what is the gospel? Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. Verse 3. For I have delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now there were plenty of prophecies of Jesus' death. Now they didn't know back in the Old Testament who Jesus was going to be. They certainly didn't know the Messiah was going to be crucified. Okay? The Old Testament said, cursed be he who hangs on the tree. He died a shameful death by the hands of man. So, This here, when they heard it, I mean, it was life-changing. It was different. It was different than anything else they'd ever heard. You can't find it anywhere else in the Bible. So He died on a cross. So what happens? Turn on, and I'm going to spend a few chapters in Romans, and then we're done. Turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 14. So he died on the cross so we can be saved. But what? And it says if we believe. Well, what do we have to do? Okay, I know that. Well, there's so much confusion. Well, I was baptized, and that's fine. I belong to a church, mom and daddy, grandma and grandpa. I watch Benny Hinn on Sundays, whatever. Okay? This is what it comes down to. Mom and daddy can't save me. They can't answer for me. Lehman can't answer for me. Betty can't answer for me. What do I do? The most important words, as Paul asks, what will you do with Jesus Christ? Okay? So Romans 10, chapter 9, verse 9 through 14. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. So I've got to believe and confess. I don't have to work it out. I don't have to give away every cent that I've got to the church. I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to do all these works. No. People make it so hard. It's so easy. For the scripture said, whoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Now that may not seem much to us, but that was huge back then because it was Jew only. What's he saying? There's no difference. The body of Christ is for everybody. When you don't know what I've done, it don't matter. Okay? It doesn't matter. Well, I'm not from the United States. Doesn't matter. I'm poor. It doesn't matter. I've been in jail. It doesn't matter. I've done this. I've done that. You don't know how bad my past life's been. It doesn't matter. It's for everybody. Black, white, male, female, poor, rich, Republican, Democrat, don't matter. It's for everybody. For whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom the... Well, let's stop there. Let's stop with verse 13 and leave it there. Whoever calls upon the Lord will be saved. Turn back to Romans 3. And I'm wrapping up. I got three more and I'll be done. Lehman, I love you. All right. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon them that believe, for there is no difference. So there's no difference. Jew, Gentile, man, woman, rich, poor, black, white, no difference. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I got in a hurry. Romans chapter 22. Verse 22. 3:22. I'm sorry. Start over. Romans 3, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all that have sinned, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, I'm not sinned. Have you thought bad thoughts about somebody? Have you got grudges that you won't give up? You felt badly towards somebody? You've lusted? You told a little white lie? You've known, hey, I need to... This person needs help. I've not helped them. I've gossiped. I've whatever. Might seem minor. But we all, through Adam's sin, we have all got that nature. Okay? Well, what if if I do believe it and I do accept Jesus as Savior, then am I going to keep doing that stuff? It's like Lehman and I were talking, man. I know it. when I do something, it's all the time, and it seems like every prayer I pray, it's like I start out, well, Lord, forgive me for doing this. Every prayer. It hits me like that when I do something I shouldn't. It does. It's the Holy Spirit convicts me. That's how I know. Because beforehand, it never, some stuff, but you know, if I used bad language or I did, it didn't bother me. It didn't bother me. I just went on, never thought anything about it. Now, man, I know as soon as I do it. Okay? And let me say this. So you still do. It's cleaned me up so much. It really has. I don't go do all that stuff. I think my wife will tell you. I do. Of the way I talked, or maybe things that I said at home, or things. I don't do it anymore. But there's still things. How do you have perfect thought processes? How do you not feel bitter towards somebody? How do you not have somebody says something and you don't have a forgiving spirit? You know, it hits me right when I don't. It just hits me right then. For all of sin to come short of glory of God, all of us, we all need a Savior. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption in Jesus Christ, who God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in the blood. He died on the cross. To declare the righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. He will forgive everything you've ever done. And He'll forgive you now when you mess up. It's all, the price has already been paid. Romans 5, verse 1 and 2. 11:56, I'll be done before 12. Verse 1, 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What's our peace? Not political peace. Not peace from our enemies. Not peace that there's not going to be a war. Not peace that there's no COVID, there's no cancer, there's no problems. We have spiritual peace with God. We know if we lay our head down at night and go to sleep and we don't wake up the next morning, we know where we're going to be. Amen. We have peace. We don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about, am I lost? Like Judy said, the lady told you, I got saved again. You know? I get saved, and I grew up in a church where you could be saved, and I've told you this. By the time I got to the top of the hill to the house, I could be as lost as I've ever been in my life. Boy, that ain't a way to live. So I'm a teenager, and I'm thinking, I can't be saved. I can't live perfect. I've been told I've got to live perfect. I can't do it. A teenage boy? That's really hard. I can't do it. I can't do it. There's nothing to it. There's nothing to it. Be careful what you listen to and what you're told. Know this. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. You're saved. You may mess up, but you have peace. You don't have to worry about, have I messed up so bad that Jesus just leaves me, that this leaves me and I can't be a Christian. He will go with you to the end. Amen. Yeah. And never leave you or forsake you. By whom, verse 2, we have access by faith. Believe in Him. Accept Him. Confess Him with your mouth. By faith unto His grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And last one, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. For there is therefore now, verse 1, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after His Spirit. For the law of the Spirit, there's no condemnation. I'm a Christian. My righteousness are as filthy rags. There's nothing great about me. So you're a Christian, that means you're better. No, I'm the worst. But Jesus lives in me, and his righteousness is perfect. I have his righteousness. To walk with them that are in Jesus Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after his Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm free from it. I'm not perfect, but I'm free from it. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He sent him here as a man. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, died on the cross. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So know this. The good news is, you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can live a Christian life, and when you die, you can go to heaven. Amen. Believe, confess with your mouth, be saved, that Jesus is your Savior. Yeah. Not that you're going to be one of the 144,000 if you make it through the tribulation, or if you give all your money to the church, or that if you do this amount of good works, believe in Jesus. It's between you and Jesus Christ. That is the most important thing I can tell you. Well, I'll clean up and then I'll start. Then I'll... No. You can't do it. Nobody. You can't do it. Not in yourself. Only through Jesus Christ. Okay? We're all living proof. I think we've all got testimonies to that. And we can all talk about how different it is. What a difference Jesus has made in our lives. And that's the good news. And it's the greatest good news I can give you. So, I love all of you. I appreciate everybody that's here. Know this. If you're not sure, talk to me. Talk to somebody here. If you want to wait till Brother Leo gets back, do that. But ask yourself, have I done that? I'm not asking you if you're perfect. I'm not. If you're looking for somebody perfect, go somewhere else. I'm not. There ain't nothing about me. Your relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you have that relationship? Have you believed in him as Savior? As Savior, to save you from your sins. That he died, that he died on the cross, he went to the grave, and he rose again to save us from our sins. And confess it with your mouth. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. You don't have to go to classes for the next 2 months to do it. Right. Betty, will you lead us in prayer?
Lord, we just thank you so much for this day that you have given us this opportunity to hear the good news.